The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report.
Lord knows they'll try.
I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this ninth day of July 2018. And that being said, if this is Monday, I've got Steve Elkins down in God's waiting room somewhere. That was just
messing with you. I'm here. I had some good news for you on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
You want to hear this, Greg?
Wait a minute. It's not the 4th of July.
No. It happened on the 4th. I was talking about freedoms and independence, remember, and my heated discussion yesterday on my show. And I just wanted to report some good news that actually happened on the 4th. Let me see. I'll get it right here. Good news. Yes. Joey Jaws Chestnut won the Coney Island hot dog eating contest. He consumed 74 hot dogs and the buns in 10 minutes, setting a new record. $10,000 check. He got a nice big giant belt, like one of those WWF belts with the wieners on it. And probably should also get a coupon for a bypass times five vessels after consuming that much fat. That's it. There's our independence for you.
Are you doing drugs?
No, I'm just trying to make light of something here because I was so ticked off yesterday. And I've been ticked off since the 4th, and somebody keeps telling me I should smile through all this stuff and saying, oh, you know, it's independence, it's freedom. Look, eat some more hot dogs. Here, have some more beer. Mm. You'll forget about everything else.
You know? Well, you know, it's the pissosity level that has kept me going because nobody, no sane human being could deal with the subject matter that I have for 26 years. And remain sane unless I used a little trick to stave off depression. It's called anger. And if what is going, if you don't get upset with 1% of what's going on in this country, you've acquiesced or you're ready for anything that anybody's going to do to you, and you just want to live life, eat your hot dogs, drink your beer, and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
You know, what used to piss me off? I heard a comedian doing a skit on this once, Steve, about being around people that are so uplifting and so positive. It just pisses you off because they're so uplifting and positive, and they've got their rose-colored glasses, and nothing ever hurts them because they've created their own world that's it's like living in the sandcastle in the sky, you know? You want to talk about something that's... Well, I've never been able to... But I've tried to balance it. You know, being a pessimist versus being an optimist. I've chosen the middle road, the median. Because people that are too optimistic are often disappointed, and those that are too pessimistic are sometimes surprised. So I thought the better approach to this would be, well, just kind of hang in the middle. And I think I'm still sane. I don't know. May not be. But maybe it's just going to take a certain kind of crazy people in this country to right the ship of state. By the way, I forget the woman's name. She's the RNC chair. I just saw this on Fox News before I came in. And she squeezed democracy in her little Fox speech at least a dozen times. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, and she's the head of the Republican National Committee. If people want to understand what's going wrong with the picks that they pick, you know, here's the political process and ta-da, this is what we're offering you today. If anybody wants to understand what's wrong with politics, at least on the created right, the conservatives, they'll always tell you, I'm a conservative, and we live in the world's best democracy. That's why the Republican Party, along with the Democrat Party, needs to be disassembled and dismantled.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean...
You saw the article today I sent you over about the HRC. Oh, HRC, yeah. The 2020, you saw that, right?
The 2020, you're...
Yeah, Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to probably run again in 2020. You saw that, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Better give Kelso a little call and tell him to call Donald Trump and get that election thing fixed really fast, because she's going to win next time. She's going to win. Yeah.
I don't know. There are more people that have had a taste of the new style of democracy and from the Democrats. You know, their hell-bent persuasion for socialism and communism. They're losing more people on the Democratic side. And they're making tacit admissions that, you know, I was going to vote Democrat, but I voted for Donald Trump. You know, and in this politically charged country, you know, to have a lefty vote for Trump, that just tells you how confused the political landscape is, as well as the voters, you know. But hey, you know, we might have another chance to see the I can't say the piano thing anymore. The pantsuited lesbian. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, the ugly polyester pants.
Well, and you know the funny thing, if she's considering doing that. You know, Donald Trump has something in his bag of tricks that he could use. It's called an indictment for all the crimes she's committed.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what does that tell you about how well Hillary Clinton is connected, her and Billy Boy? Mm-hmm. Because if they were not, they were already been charged. We'd already, you know, this political, I don't even know what you call it anymore, this political theater in this country anymore. You know, the fact that this is being leaked out that Hillary is going to run in 2020.
Exactly.
What does that tell you about how deep the swamp really is?
Yeah, they got it locked in.
Yeah.
They own it. They own it.
They own it.
Part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of scary. I don't know.
Well, more people, I hate to say this, but more people are coming to the conclusion that, you know, the only way that this is going to, it's going to come down to a fist fight. And that's going to be it. And that's going to decide the future of this country. By the way, speaking of fist fights, I've got P.J. Barton coming on next hour.
Right.
Theresa May. this old windbag, she yielded to the political pressures. And her Brexit plan, now it's only been, what, over 2 years?
Yeah.
Almost 18 million Brits said, you know what, we think it's a pretty good idea that we sever relations with the European Union. And they voted for that. And subsequently, many people that were against it, once they learned of all the machinations of it, they're on the Brexit wagon now as well. But unfortunately, Theresa May... their prime minister has thrown them under the proverbial bus, and I'm sure PJ has more on this. But the one guy that quit over this, he voted for Theresa May's 12-point plan before he quit, and I just thought that was particularly gutless that somebody was blackmailing or had something on him, and he couldn't stand the blowback, so he voted for her plan, and then just turned around and quit. I'm sure PJ will have some stuff on that as well. But coming out of the European Union, we got Your memes are safe, at least for now. The EU actually rejects internet censorship bill. Wow. How did that happen? Because Nigel Farage, man, he got a lot of FaceTime on Facebook and on Twitter. And many people found out who Nigel Farage was by the very fact that there was the internet out there. But in Britain, they're afraid of Donald Trump coming over, so they forbade Nigel Farage from talking to Donald Trump. Now, Steve, how exactly do you do that? Now, are you really an English subject to the crown if their direction is a private citizen can't talk to anybody he wants to? You know, who he wants to talk to, evidently, Donald Trump, but the EU government said, no, you can't do that. I don't know what kind of...
Well, on what grounds?
Hell if I know.
I mean, they got to come up with something. Oh, no. I mean, either a good lie or something.
This is the state. They don't have to tell you squat.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? Yeah. You can jump up and down and demand it and turn upside down. And yeah, you can do anything you want. But they...
Well, I've said from the very beginning, I think even Rivera and I talked about this, that leaving the EU, this Brexit, I am not sure it's going to happen.
I'll tell you what the people of Britain need to do.
Okay.
You know, forget the unions, forget everything. Just going by your vote, for everybody that voted for the let's get the hell out of the European Union, well, they just need to walk off the job. And forget the political machinations through the union, through the shipbuilders or the dock workers or whoever. Forget all that stuff. Forget the political wranglings and that base. And no, everybody that voted that thought it was a good idea, and it was, to get the hell out from under the European Union, they just need to take holiday in Great Britain, all of them. And for as long as it's going to take to shut that entire economy down, to tell that government over there, you know what? We're really serious about this. You know, we thought we demonstrated that we were serious about this by way of the vote, almost 18 million people telling you that, hey, we've had enough of this European Union crap. We want our sovereignty back. We want the ability to say what is good for the British people. That's what they were saying. But evidently, they weren't listening. So can you hear me now? When you go to make a telephone call or your house is burning down and you make a call to the fire station and nobody shows up to piddle on your little fire, they need to walk off the job. They need to just stop in place, fold their arms, and go, really? Can you hear us now?
That would do it.
That would do it.
Shutting it down completely, yes, that would do it.
Just shut it down.
Yep. It'd work.
I wonder how PJ will respond to that. We'll find out next hour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I'm starting to think, you know, in this country, you know, I understand that we're in tenuous economic times. I realize that we're being lied to all over the place. Yeah, I get all that. But staying on this present course, hell, Steve, they're even starting to admit that Donald Trump and his little trade war, well, I guess it was something that needed to be done. Well, yeah, when you got trade imbalances of $500 billion, we take the Chinese crap, and we can only send you $100 billion? Yeah, something needs to change about that. And even Trump himself said, you know, these agreements, I'd be happy with no taxes either way, which is kind of fascinating, which tells me that he's going to stick with the bankster gangsters for a while longer. Which is really,
you know, I'm kind of surprised actually they didn't try to overthrow or you know, undermine the election itself for Brexit and say something about you know, voter fraud, election fraud. I'm surprised they didn't go that route. That would have been something I would have expected for them to say, because it was close enough to say maybe there, you know, I mean, if you wanted to go down that road, you could have said maybe there was some election fraud and maybe they didn't really win. Maybe they're not supposed to leave. And so they would have nullified the vote and maybe done another vote and this time rigged it good in their favor. I'm surprised they didn't go down that road.
Well, and I'm thinking that, you know, vote rigging, that's been around since Hector was a pup. And I still believe to this day that whether it be the Brexit vote or the vote here in this country, they tried to fix it, but they just couldn't. Is this a current call list here, Mike? Okay, sorry. I got Andy in Texas. I thought you were left over from last week. Hello, Andy.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem.
No. You were saying that people don't understand how messed up this thing is early on in the conversation. And they really don't. I mean, look at this Nikki Haley chick in the United Nations. And then you look, we hired John Bolton. And then we went ahead and put Pompei in. These are all familiar faces from past organizations. So we're supposed to sit here and think, yeah, Donald Trump's doing a fantastic thing. Why? Because he passed the biggest tax bill forever and spent the most money on the military. I mean, really, are we just that stupid?
Oh, but Andy, you're not including the new military front they want to open up. They want to open up outer space. They want what are they calling it? Space camp?
Airspace or something?
Something. And I'm thinking to myself, in order to suggest that, you've got to be a space cadet yourself, because the only thing that this is going to do, it's going to encourage more of a type of arms race.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And
actually, it's in violation,
and more
too.
More borrowing from the central bank.
Absolutely.
More borrowing from the central bank.
Unless Donald's going to spend his own money doing this, which I doubt very much.
Yeah, but yeah. He'll run out quick. This
space
is
Force. That's what
adventure.
It is. That's what it is.
That
it's
is
the Space Force.
Exactly.
Doesn't that sound like a cheap 1950s science fiction movie?
A car. A new Galaxy 500 or something.
But, you know, what Donald Trump doesn't realize, it's illegal to do so. You saw that article I sent you on that.
No, I did not.
127 countries have signed off on a treaty. I got to go back to my records on it. How far back? I think it's back in the 60s, I believe so. And beyond 62 miles of space, and they cannot colonize it. They can't claim planets. They can't build settlements on planets, and they cannot weaponize space. So he evidently doesn't even know of this treaty. And nobody's advised him, hey, you know what? What you've just said is impossible, because unless you're just going to walk away from treaties, which is kind of what the United States has done in the past. I mean, they make treaties all the time, and they've always broke them, and starting off with the Indians.
Yeah, I was just going to say, ask the Indians.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. White men speak with four tongues. So this treaty evidently would be nullified. In order to do this legally, he's just going to say, well, hell with the law. I don't care about the law. We are the law. And so I see at least 127 or more nations to actually step up and say, hey, here's the treaty. You can't do it. But like I said, you know, the arrogance of this government is, we don't give a damn what you think. We're going to do what we want to do. And this is why we have all the troubles we have in this country, because we have a very arrogant government.
Hey, Steve, I totally share your frustration. I listened to your program yesterday, and I mean, I totally shared it. I mean, that was probably the best program of the day, to be honest with you. Because you really, I shared a lot of your frustration, and that woman who had hope. I mean, you're right. We do have to have hope, but she had too much hope. Just too much hope. I mean, she was really thinking that we can pull this thing out. No, we can't. Too many people are brainwashed, and those of us who are awake, we can't seem to unbrainwash them fast enough. So we really are in a pickle here, and it's certainly the avenues they gave us to correct this situation is definitely not an avenue that's going to get it done and over with as quickly as we need it done. It's going to take years for us to do it, because they set up the way for us to do it. Even though we have an avenue, it's called just grab your guns and let's get these people out of here. We're just too chicken BS to do that. So there you have it. Hey, thanks, John, for letting me step in. Thank you, Steve. I love your show, bro.
You're welcome. Hey, right. Thanks, man. What's interesting he brings up is that in other countries, John, their people rise up much faster to overthrow a bad government.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? I mean, well, really, look at the Chinese.
See, yeah. We're just really tolerant in this country. Tolerant to the point where the excrement is up around our necks.
Too comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know about comfortable. I don't know. I'm not a clinical psychologist here, and I can't give you the reasons why people are not acting differently than what they are. But I'm just thinking, you know, maybe this is kind of like a volcano thing. It's going to explode one day.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Steve?
Yes, sir.
Did you see Understanding the Artificial Economy on the website?
I didn't look at the website today, John.
Okay.
I plead the fifth. I looked at everything else but that today. I usually do, but okay. I didn't today. I'll look at it right now.
It's too late.
Too late now. Sorry. You should have called me and said, Steve, look at the website, please.
No, I assume that you normally did that, but that's okay. What I've contended has been the number one problem in this country has been the banking. Now, somebody just put together not too long ago the national debt scam. And within this short presentation, it's about 14 minutes long, tells you exactly what the bankster gangsters have accomplished in 100 plus years in this country. You know, it's so bad now, and the control is so deep, that they're now saying that there's 6 million jobs that need to be filled, and we don't have enough people to fill them because everybody's back to work. For a lie of that magnitude to go unchallenged in a country shows you the depth of the control. Mike, go ahead and play this. Understanding the Artificial Economy, folks. It's posted on our website. In case you want to listen to it again and pass it on to people that think they're smart, but they're really dumb as a box of rocks. Go ahead, hit it.
Imagine that you have a printing press at home that can print money, and there is a law that requires the money that you print to be accepted by every person and every business in the country. You could buy multi-million dollar mansions, the most expensive luxury cars, top-of-the-line clothes, Rolex watches, yachts, private jets, and the best of fine artwork, all without limit and beyond your wildest dreams. You could become a famous philanthropist creating programs to help the poor, the unemployed, and the elderly. Let that sink in for a minute and explain to me how you would go trillions of dollars into debt. You wouldn't. Why would the thought borrowing money ever cross your mind? If a group of prominent bankers came to you and said, "In spite of your good deeds, popular opinion is building. People fear the unregulated printing of money. We are the country's top economists, and if you give us your printing press, we will give our official endorsement. Provide the illusion of constraint, and gladly lend you any amount of money that you want at a very low interest rate, which, by the way, you never have to repay. Really? Would you trust them?" But that is exactly what we have now. The government can print United States notes and spend them, which was last done in 1963, but it cannot legally print Federal Reserve notes and spend them. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, a government-sponsored enterprise, and Federal Reserve notes are private corporate banknotes. The Fed effectively owns the printing press and can print or otherwise create any amount of money totally independent of any congressional approval or oversight. And in order for the government to borrow more money for its budgetary con game, it borrows the money from the Federal Reserve. The Fed purchases government treasury bills, treasury notes, and treasury bonds in exchange for its newly created money and then sells the securities on the open market at a huge profit. And all of us are stuck with the perpetual interest payments through ever-increasing taxes plus the hidden tax of inflation. Printing United States notes and spending them without debt is, however, not a good alternative. It would still cause inflation, which not only hides the real tax rate, but also discourages saving and has a destabilizing effect on the economy. In the beginning, the Federal Reserve actually had a positive stated objective: to prevent runs on banks that got themselves in financial trouble and to even out the business cycle. From that noble beginning about 100 years ago, the Fed morphed into the entity of absolute power that we have today. To understand the process, we need to look at banking before the Federal Reserve. From the beginning, a bank was considered a safe place to keep one's money. But there was one big difference: the gold standard. The government did not print money, it minted gold and silver coins, as the Constitution still requires, by the way. The paper money that existed at the time was printed by each individual bank as a receipt, a banknote, for the gold and silver deposited with the bank. Customers were charged a small fee for a safe place to keep their money. These notes were easier to carry, easier to hide, and often exchanged for goods and services instead of the actual gold or silver. The banknotes were considered just as valuable as the actual gold or silver because a bank's success depended on its spotless reputation. If somehow there was an occasion where everyone wanted to take their money out of the bank at the same time, how could that possibly cause a problem for depositors? Well, imagine that you were a banker back then. Hundreds of customers have gold in your vault. Also, a loan broker, you offer to split the interest received on any gold that customers make available to lend with the interest rate determined by the supply of money made available and the demand for loans. All is well, but then you notice all of that gold just sitting idly in the vault day after day, and then you get a brilliant idea. If you lend Joe's gold and don't tell him, you get to keep all of the interest income for yourself. If Joe comes in for his gold, you can use Paul's gold to cover it. If you don't get too greedy, you could actually get away with it, couldn't you? Ah, but there was one big problem that made that very difficult. The banker would lend the gold, the borrower would spend it, and whoever received the gold would likely put it back in the bank. The banker would issue a fresh banknote for the newly received deposit, but would have no way of knowing that this was the same gold that he had just lent. With the compounding effect of several of these inflationary cycles, the banker would conclude that his business was expanding and that he could take more risk. Also, with this newly created money, the town would experience an economic boom. However, all artificial booms eventually end, and the resulting downturn in the economy would make people nervous and want the security of real gold, often triggering a run on the bank. With banknotes issued well in excess of deposits, the bank would fail and many people would lose all of their money. Instead of passing laws against the misappropriation of depositors' funds and the making of fraudulent loans, the individual state governments, completely ignoring the compounding effect, passed laws to regulate the process by enforcing a reserve requirement, a percentage of the deposits that could not be lent. But, because of either incompetence or corruption, the reserve requirement averaged a very low 15%. This is the origin of the fractional reserve system, legalized fraud, which is the foundation of our present banking system. As a result, there were many boom and bust cycles accompanied by bank failures that were falsely blamed on the business cycle. The Federal Reserve to the rescue. To put an end to bank failures, the Fed was given the power to create money and make loans to banks to make up for the shortfall if too many customers wanted to withdraw their money at the same time. They called it providing liquidity. Since the Federal Reserve was considered part of the United States government, runs on the banks were prevented by giving depositors a false sense of security in the banking system. Both the Federal Reserve Act and, by no coincidence in my opinion, the 16th Amendment were passed in the same year, 1913. The Federal Reserve Act established a central bank to make loans not only to banks, but especially to the federal government, and the 16th Amendment, authorizing a federal income tax, provided the collateral for those government loans. The full faith and credit of the U.S. taxpayer, enforced by the absolute power of the IRS, guaranteed the loans. However, with the gold standard, the amount of banknotes circulating in excess of the gold deposits could only go so far. If the reserve requirement was 15%, the amount of banknotes could only increase to about 6 times the amount of gold deposited. The banker's profits and the resulting inflation would end. This is an absolute mathematical limit, unless the gold standard could be eliminated. With the availability of money and interest rates under the complete control of the Federal Reserve, immediately in 1914, the roller coaster ride got underway. Government borrowing from the Fed starting in 1914 to finance World War I increased the money supply 70%, causing inflation. In early 1920, the discount interest rate was raised from 1.25% to 6% to fight the inflation. The money supply went down only 11%, but unemployment increased to 20%. In 1924, the discount interest rate was lowered from 6% to 3% to fight the unemployment. This, along with an easy money policy, caused the Roaring Twenties stock market boom. People would buy stocks. The value of the stocks would increase. They would present the stocks as collateral. Then the bankers would loan them more money to buy more stocks and repeat the process. The money supply increased 60% and the unemployment rate went down to 5%. In 1928, to fight the inflationary boom, the discount rate was increased from 3% to 5%, followed by tight money policies in 1929. That led to the October 29, 1929 stock market crash. The money supply decreased 35% and unemployment increased to 24%. The resulting Great Depression made possible the New Deal entitlement expansion of government and permanently changed its charter from very limited to totally unlimited. How about that for stabilizing the business cycle? The Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve were the top bankers of the time. Were they that incompetent? They failed miserably. Or did they? There was one huge gain for the Federal Reserve that I would like to point out. At the bottom of the Great Depression in 1934, gold was made illegal for the public to own. I fail to understand the rationale, but a law was passed requiring people to take their gold coins to the bank and exchange them for Federal Reserve notes. People were confused and desperate enough to comply. The Federal Reserve, a private corporation, took possession of virtually all of the gold in circulation in the United States at that time. This fact is briefly mentioned in history books, but it is not reported that it was, and still is, the biggest gold heist in the history of the human race. And it was the first big step in completely eliminating the gold standard. Where is the gold now? Well, we may never know. When the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913, the law made the Fed exempt from federal, state, and local taxes, in spite of an enormous profit potential, and also exempt from audit. Are you getting the sense that there was some chicanery involved here? In 1974, President Nixon ended the gold standard and the rest of the world soon followed. Without a gold-backed currency, the Fed and central banks in every other country in the world could create any amount of money without limit, reducing the value of the currency for everyone in the process. Also, with a New Deal entitlement policy an income tax, and no real debt limit, the federal government was able to grow to an unimaginable level, destroying the middle class, increasing poverty and homelessness, regulating almost every aspect of human action, eliminating the right to privacy, flexing its military muscle, creating enemies all over the world, and obligating children to more than a $50,000 debt as soon as they are born, rendering the Pledge of Allegiance totally obscene. The 16th Amendment not only resulted in greatly increased taxes, but also had a huge indirect effect, outsourcing. For the first 130 years of this country, most of the federal revenue was from tariffs, which averaged around 20%. A tariff is a tax on foreign products sold here. The tax on domestic production, mainly through state and local taxes, was lower, about 10%. With domestic production encouraged in an environment of freedom, a frontier settlement was able to grow to become the richest country in the world and a major exporter of its high-quality products. It could be argued that, to be fair, tariffs and taxes should have been made equal, but that is not what happened. Now, with domestic business and labor taxed at 35% and tariffs down to 1.3%, the tax structure is totally reversed. As a result, it is much cheaper to manufacture in foreign countries, especially for large quantity production, because of lower labor cost, lower taxes, much less regulation, and virtually no tariffs. The American worker and American entrepreneur cannot compete with this totally unfair form of globalization. This is free trade for them, but we have to pay through the nose to manufacture and sell the same products in our own country. In addition, with an unlimited amount of money made available for loans and with savings steadily devalued by inflation, one who wants to save money to buy a house, car, or industrial equipment, as used to be the norm, is now at a total disadvantage compared to one who borrows the money and makes the payments. As a result, the entire economy runs on debt. People are given the illusion of ownership of high-ticket items only if the banker makes the loan and gets his cut. And, due to the long-term effects of inflation, saving for retirement is only possible by investing the money saved, which puts it at risk and allows Wall Street and the bankers to determine how much you will win or how much you will lose. That gets us to the absurd economy that we have now. The Federal Reserve effectively owns the printing press, prints money, and makes a huge tax-free profit for every dollar that they print, which includes the $17 trillion in national debt, interest on all of the money lent since 1913, plus all of the other money created and lent into circulation here and all over the world. Without an independent audit, the exact total can only be estimated to be at least $30 trillion. That is $300 billion per year, on the average, each year for past 100 years. With that level of pilfering, the loss of high-volume manufacturing jobs, multiple boom and bust cycles, high public and private debt, high taxes, high inflation, and a balance of trade deficit for the past 40 years, no economy could be expected to do well. It's a miracle that it has made it this far without total collapse. The middle class has been completely destroyed. Up to 1972, the income distribution was a bell curve, a natural distribution showing a strong middle class with a minority of poor and few rich. But slowly since then, the middle class has disappeared. The income distribution, even in 2005, at the peak of the real estate boom, before the 2008 crash, is nothing like a bell curve. It shows more households at or near the poverty level than any other income level. Homelessness, once rare, is now commonplace. With government spending dominating the economy, the connected minority get richer with government jobs, government contracts, or government bailouts, while the middle class is being pushed closer and closer to the poverty level. The empire of the United States was conquered without a shot being fired and is still being vigorously plundered. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chest, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a trek on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up among us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time, or die by suicide." How do we die by suicide as a nation? Are we all that apathetic? Unaware? Well, it is difficult to be otherwise with the entitlement culture is so well established and with the media bombarding us with headline rhetoric and misdirection. This is the richest country in the world. This is a democracy. Your vote counts. Support our troops who fight the unending battles for your freedom. Every other country is worse off. If you just work harder, you can still achieve the American dream. Cuts in social programs would spell disaster. Income equality, tax the rich. The problem is corporate greed. Automation, illegal immigration, the minimum wage, the Chinese, the Republicans, the Democrats, the Tea Party. The media is biased and has control of the narrative, but the internet can counter the popular media. To put an end to this insidious form of economic enslavement here, and in virtually every other country in the world, the artificial economy of the central bankers, by the central bankers, and for the central bankers must be replaced by a natural economy. Since the central bankers have acquired most of the gold, this must be done without gold or gold backing and can actually be done without backing by any commodity and without totally disrupting the present banking system. Find out how at theethicaleconomy.com. Please spread the word.
That was probably one of the best presentations that I've ever heard on what fractionalized reserve banking has done, not only here, but abroad, because they all practice the same thing. They just fly it under another banner, different name, same gangsters. What do you think?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome. I just sent it off to 9 people.
Good.
And I made some notes here, and it's interesting that, you know, when we talk about 1934, the gold confiscation by the government and turning it in for Federal Reserve notes. Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at, 74, Nixon taking us off the gold standard. Yep. You know, the inevitable was to see massive, massive inflation for the future, mm-hmm. to keep running those printing presses and nothing to back it. This is amazing.
But
this
all the while knowing that if they offered the public at large more credit, they would take advantage of it.
Yes.
Because they knew they couldn't save for anything anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is absolute perfection. And the neat thing about this is, folks, go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and grab a hold of that story and send it to people.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got a bunch of neat little demonstrations on there that obviously don't show up on the air because we're radio, not television. But little visual aids bring the thing home, and it's masterfully done. But it encompasses all of what this funny system has done to us. And, you know, your mega hat, you know, I tell you what, Donald Trump's a business guy. He understands. Whether he has the guts to go up against these people or not is another thing. But that's what has to be done straight out of the chute.
I agree.
And in this country, folks, we don't have to work 3 jobs to get our lives back. We would just return to a simpler, easier to deal with time. In other words, if you wanted to work, you got paid. It wasn't adulterated. It wasn't screwed with. And you could equate what you could have in your bank account, quote-unquote bank account, or in your pocket, by you just doing the honest thing, putting an honest day's work out and getting an honest day's pay. It used to be that simple.
You know, John, I'm trying to wrap my mind around who convinced Nixon to take us off the gold standard.
And then booted him out of the White House.
Yeah.
They should have had him, you know, run for another term or something. But this is what the creatures do.
Yeah.
Nixon put the fix in for the globalist.
Yeah.
And let us not forget, that's who's behind the world banking system, the very same people that their creation is world government, and they have used this as a control mechanism all the while. We don't hear the New World Order, that term anymore, or the globalist.
Right.
But it is just as real today as it was when they thought all this crap up.
Quite the scheme.
Yeah, and there it is, pervasive, operating every single day right in your face.
Yeah, amazing.
It is. It's more than amazing. It's mind-numbing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Wow.
Yeah. So, folks, do yourself a favor. Watch that a few times. Watch it 5 times till you get your mind wrapped around it, till you know it. So the next jerk standing in McDonald's hamburger line that didn't want to go to the kiosk and order, and then you get this little person that can't speak English or couldn't count change if their lives depended on it. The next person standing in that line that wants to make some offhanded quip that they think that they're cool and they know something, unload on them. You got the time. You got the opportunity. Unload on them.
You know, John, I think some of your bank tellers would enjoy this video. You always tell us a bank story. Tell your teller, hey, you got to watch this. Just watch this.
You know,
we'll talk to you next week.
I was in that very same bank today, and I looked at the youngest member. He's a young kid, maybe 23, 24 years old. And I'm watching the female bank managers run around, all looking like they came back from a party on Saturday night, all wearing skin tight, the stretchy stuff and the high heels and stuff. They all look like a bunch of freaking hookers. And I looked at this kid and I said, you know, where was the day? Where was the day that, females, managers and assistant managers, that they dressed like women? And he just kind of looked at me and he kind of rolled his eyes and he knew exactly what I was saying to him. And I said, you know, here's the good news. I don't think things can get any worse and they've got to get better. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, don't count on it.
Yeah.
So... I
know this. Especially in a professional job, you expect them to look professional. But I don't know this whole liberalism thing. You know, their autonomy. You can't mess with somebody's autonomy. They can have tattoos all up and down their neck and their arms, and you can't say anything about it. If you say something about it, well, then you're a bad person. I don't know. I have standards. If I had a business, I would be hiring professional people and. I wouldn't be hiring a guy with tattoos on his neck because, as far as I understand, that's prison stuff. That's usually what they do in prisons. And I have an image I want to have in my business. And so I don't know. I'm not – you want to do that on your own time? You want to work in a record shop? That's fine. You might fit in really well there. But you work in a bank, you should look professional.
So you're saying that you wouldn't hire an inked-up female or male?
She's going to have to wear a turtleneck sweater in the summertime if she works for me. I don't want to see those tattoos.
You're just a shining example of the old farts that used to run things that were just so rigid in their thinking about everything that you're just old and you're just passe.
I think you can agree things were much better back then, right? A little bit better?
Yeah, but you can't convince a millennial of that today because they don't even speak the same language. Even though that the words are spelled and pronounced the same way, they don't understand a damn thing that you're saying to them.
I know, yeah.
And that has been the fault of their parents.
Exactly.
Of their parents, 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 and on we go. Yeah. You know, it would have been better in this country if we never made record of anything. Like the Indians, you used to pass on their history. It was all verbal. Yeah. From generation to generation to generation.
Well, once you set a high standard, then you see the slipping of the standard.
There you go. And that, we used to have somewhat of a standard, and that's arguably against Bible thumpers versus Satanists. Oh, I'm sorry. The more enlightened ones versus the unenlightened ones, but look what has happened. Happened to everything.
John, I had a girl one time came for a job interview. I was working for this good size, care facility, about 100 and something employees. Girl shows up. I'm looking for certified nursing assistants. So I do a big interview session. I bring people in. I schedule them for interviews. They come in. A girl walks in wearing shorts and flip-flops for an interview. I look at her and just got back from the beach. You know, what's this? I was going to interview her, and I thought, no, if you can't dress professional for an interview, I'm not wasting my time. But, you know, I can't have somebody jumping on me and filing a lawsuit against me because I didn't consider them, because that's the way everything is nowadays. So I simply just took her interviews, her application. So, you know what? I'm going to have to reschedule, which I never did. I'm not going to waste my time.
What, you didn't have a special flip-flop Friday?
No, it was not dress down Friday. It was interview Friday, and you're supposed to come in looking professional. I'm looking for professional people to take care of patients. If this person can dress this lousy, this sloppy, coming in for an interview, can I trust this individual with other people's lives? No, not going to. It's my job.
Yeah.
It's my responsibility to hire confident, quality people. And if you can't, you come with shorts and flip flops. for an interview.
Jeff, believe that. Jeff in Georgia. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, John. How you doing? That was a great presentation, but it has one thing missing, and that's it doesn't call for action. We have to cancel the debt, John, and because it was fraudulently loaned out.
You know, look, don't put your cart before the horse. You know that. I know it. Steve knows it. Pretty much everybody in this audience knows it. This is aimed at people that don't get it, that don't understand it. Because if you don't understand what the problem is and demonstrate it to them, then there's no further steps past that. You understand, John, what I'm saying, Jeff?
Yes. Yes, I understand that. But I think a better tactic might be you guys saying cancel the debt. It was fraudulently given. Banks were loaning money they did not have. And you have to keep it at a third through sixth grade level. You got to realize, John and Steve, that we're largely a third world country. Steve was saying he wouldn't hire people with tattoos. I have no tattoos. But I want to tell you, a lot of people do now. I mean, we're a much different country than we were when I was a kid.
Not exposable tattoos. You can have whatever you want on your body. I don't care. But when you come to my work, you're going to look professional. So I'm not anti-tattoo, and I don't want people with 10 piercings on their body coming in working for me. And you take those piercings out, you work for me, you look professional. So don't come off like I'm some kind of, you know, fotty-dotty kind of guy that I have these strict rules. I'm a pretty nice guy, but I do believe in professional attire.
But
professional.
He's also talking standard here, Jeff.
Yeah,
And that's what we're after here. To make it any easier than that presentation, within inside of 15 minutes, spells out the destruction of America. And I couldn't have done, if my life depended on it, I couldn't have done a better presentation based on my own studying on the problem for the last quarter century. You know, and this is not about, it's about a standard. To make it easier for the people that don't get it, I don't care about them. I care about the people that do get it. And these are the people that are going to be taking the action. The rest of the people I'm not worried about. They're going to die of their own disillusionment, of their own dumbfounded whatever, their perceptions of the world. I don't care, Jeff.
Jeff, if we don't have a standard, acceptable standard, where will we be if we don't set guidelines and standards?
Bingo.
I mean, 10 more years from now, you can come in with lip piercings. You can have your face tattooed like that guy on Moby Dick. What's his name? Quick. I mean, we have to have standards. We have to have standards, and we need to stay by those standards and not budge on those standards.
And as far as I know, banking has nothing to do with tattoos, so let's separate that issue. Jeff, I think... What?
John, banking does have something to do with it because the bankers own our culture. And until we overthrow the banking system, our Christianity, our standards, everything will collapse. Our country will collapse. We need massive reform. We need a revolution, a massive reform against banking. We have to overthrow the banking system. And I got one more thing to say about Richard Nixon. Nixon took us off the dollar standard, the gold standard, because we were losing our gold rapidly. Because other countries were wanting their gold back, and you need to look into that. I'm not on Nixon's bandwagon, but there's videos out there saying why Nixon took us off the gold standard. Fort Knox would be empty if he hadn't done that.
It is empty, Jeff.
It is empty. That's true.
It is empty. All right, Jeff. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
You know, he doesn't give enough credit to Hollywood. The influence of Hollywood, of how these kids turn out the way they are. Yes, lack of parenting, parents not being parents any longer, wanting to be buddies and friends.
Yeah.
But look at Hollywood, the influential Hollywood, the dress, everything about it. They want to be like them, like superstars.
And I've always contended, if you don't take away their power structure, you know, any war that's ever been fought, the side that didn't go after the munitions makers and the supply lines and who fed all the stuff, we're not going to make it. Dave in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hey, John. How are you today, brother?
Hi.
Well, I see you got that Steve with you. And you know, Steve. You know, why are you so prudish? So what, you expect employees to care enough about their job, show up looking professionally, do the job, be responsible? You expect people to still be adults and care about their profession? I mean, come on. I mean, we got to grow up here. I'm just playing because I love picking on Steve. I love it. But I was hoping I could tell you guys a story. I was raised by an old country banker. Owned a bank of Raymondville. Raymondville, Missouri was a town of 300 people. Still is, by the way. When Grandpa took the bank over, you know, his thing he always said was, what's good for the community is good for the bank. Well, if you walked into my grandpa in the 70s, when he was operating his bank, 50s, 60s, 70s, sold it out in the 80s, if you walked in a silk suit with a big stack of paper and said, man, Mr. Banker, I need a loan. He's going to show you the door. If you walk in bib overhauls and he's going to say, let me see your hands, and you can show him calluses, he's going to write you the check. And that's the way banking actually was done at one point in this country. You know, why loan money to a slick-talking fool who's only going to steal from you? So, I mean, my grandpa also had a Thompson submachine gun on his wall behind his desk in this old country bank. Nobody ever tried to rob, John. I don't know.
Dave, he might have been a more honest man, but it was still in the corrupt system, unless your grandfather.
Well, no, he always said that.
Okay, well, all right. Well, that needs to be said.
He always tried to tell me this, but, you know, there was two different banking classes, and finally it got to the point where the regulators would not allow him would not allow him to exclude people from loans who were thieves, you know, I mean, who were garbage. Everybody. It had to be, and if you didn't have proper collateral, you didn't meet all the standards and everything, you know, then you didn't get the loan. A further way to persecute people.
Dave, I'm going to cut you off because I got to get one more caller in here because we got a guest coming on next hour, and you're jamming my time, but I do really appreciate your call. You're talking old school, and I hear that language. Joanne in Dallas, you got less than 60 seconds. I apologize.
Hi, it's Joanne in Delaware.
Delaware.
I just wanted to share with you, there are pockets of America that still embrace better values. As Steve was saying, we like to go to a restaurant called Diener's in Ronsk, PA, where the ladies, you know, dress very modestly. And, you know, it's like going back in time. So some of that still exists in America. It's just a little bit hard to find these days, but hopefully we can somehow get back to a more sane, civilization.
It's called rolling out the standards that everybody used to fly. You know, they'd fly the banners, and people would stand under it. That's what needs to be done. Now everything's a crapshoot. Everybody's got a better idea in this great democracy. Yeah, my eyeball. Joanne, thank you for your call.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
You too. By the way, on the way to the bank today, I'm going down the road. Guy's driving a brand new Corvette. Guess what was on the license plate, Steve?
Hillary.
Banking.
Are you serious?
I caught up to him at the next light, motioned him to roll down his window, and I said, you know, I'm an honest guy. You see what I'm driving. Why don't you take that piece of plastic you're driving and shove it right up your wazoo? I don't think he understood exactly what I was saying, but I made the point. Maybe one day he'll get it.
Probably.
Piece of plastic. I'm driving a 2011 Mazda 3. So are you.
No, mine's a 2010.
Oh, wow.
Gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.